Okay, so the parsha, we're in Vayera now. Shmos Vayera both deal with the Galus Geula Mitzrayim, which were taught at a young age, the schus that Bnei Yisrael were not Mashana as Shemam, as Lashonim, as Mabushim. They didn't change their names, their language, or their clothing, which is really an amalgam of a few different Midrashim. There's no single Midrash. The Torah Shlomo points it out that says those three things. We have a Midrash that says Lashonim and one Mabushim, and some that have two of them. But none have all three together, but that's what we're taught. This is like one of those things that's passed on as a tradition, that these three things didn't change, and because of that, the Bnei Yisrael Zochah and the Gula. More specifically, for this week's Parsha, the Gemara tells us that the Tzvardim, the frogs, when they jumped into the furnaces of the Egyptians, were supposed to learn a Kal V'chomer, that if frogs are willing to put their whole lives on the line for the will of God, so we too as well. So it's a lesson in self-sacrifice. The question is, how far do you really have to go for this? Is this just an ideal, or is this a real thing that you're supposed to stand out and not blend in with the rest of society? So the Maram Shik has a tshuva about secular names, and he's very very against adopting secular names, and in fact, if in source 5 in the drasha of the Maram Shik, so when the non-Jews forced the Jews to take on last names, so he was very against it. He had no choice, so he took on the name Shik, which is an acronym for Shem Yisrael Kodesh, meaning I'm not taking on a last name, I have a holy name, Shem Yisrael Kodesh. The Ragachava points out that maybe when we talk about secular names, maybe that's only names that are new, meaning a translated name of a Jewish name. That's not even Bechlalis. And then Rav Moshe has an idea. He takes this a step further. He has two tshuvas on the topic. The first one, I just have the source that he writes. He just points out that you find tzaddikim throughout the ages with secular names. So he says that the same way, you know, we always lump together Shloshino as Shemam as Mabushim, that they didn't change, as the Shonam, that we speak English. So the same way we speak English, we didn't adopt that as well. Then in the second shuv, he takes it a step further, that it was only in Mitzrayim when they didn't have the mitzvahs to distinguish them as being different. So that's when there was a real important idea of having other things to establish identity after Matan Torah, so we have the mitzvahs to make us stand out.
Amorim had names.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. Rav Moshe points it out, that you have throughout the generations, you have names in that were quote-unquote Shino Ashimam. So this is his explanation for that. The bigger question is the following. Somebody needs to hide their identity. Are you allowed to do that in the case of where you want to just make money, where you want to avoid losing money, or when your life is on the line, are you allowed to pretend that you're not Jewish? So the Gemara has this concept of araksa de masana, shoelaces, that even though if a non-Jew tells you to violate a mitzvah, you know, or I'll kill you, so you violate the mitzvah. But if he tells you to do it specifically for the purpose of persecution, even if he tells you Jews have to wear shoelaces or we're going to kill you, so they're, specific non-Jewish, whatever the situation is there, you have to wear our shoelaces the same as everybody else. So that's Yeharag Val Yavor. Rashi says, "Sheim derech ovdei kochavim likshor kach v'kach, and derech yisob ben yinacher." So the Jews tie their shoelaces one way, and the non-Jews do it a different way, and there's persecution that everyone has to conform. So that would be a case of Yeharag Val Yavor. Now there's three sugyas, three mamari chazal, which seem to go against this. And number one, the most blatant, Amarav, Ashari Litzur B'Merabanan, a Talmud Chacham is allowed lemeimar avda denura ana. I am, I'll just translate it literally, I'm a worshiper of flames. Why? Meaning they're charging tax for the Jews. They're not charging tax for the non-Jews. So when, let's say, at the toll booth. So if you're Jewish, you have to pay a tax. If you're not Jewish, you don't. So you go and you say, I worship the flames. So, Mimele, you're not Jewish. We're not idol worshippers. So how do you do that? So that's one. The other, the Gemara tells the story of Rimeir was running away from the Romans. There are three different versions of the story. The middle version of the story is that it looked like he was eating non-kosher food, and they said, if that person's eating non-kosher food, it must not be Rabbi Meir, and they moved on. Okay, so he ate the non-kosher food to save his life, but and it was Bishul Akum, so it's the Rabbanan. But the bottom line is, like, are you allowed to pretend you're not Jewish to save your life? That it sounds like that's exactly what he did. And the third, Shnei Talmidim of Rabbi Yeshua, that they changed their clothing at a time of persecution, and they were caught. So the officer said to them, Imatem Bnei Shel Torah Tu Nafshechem Alei, if you are Talmidei Chachamim, if you're Bnei Torah, so give your life over it. And if not, so then why are you risking your life? So they said, no, we are Bnei Torah, and we would give our lives for this, but why would we do that? Meaning, why? People don't, you know, meaning he asked them, what are you doing? Why did you change your clothes? And they said, well, we're Bnei Torah, but why should we, you know, put ourselves on the line? So you see that they were able to change their clothes, but they weren't able to lie and say that we are even not Bnei Torah. They could have said we're Jewish, you know, we're not so frum. But they didn't do that, but they were willing to change their clothes. So the answer to all this, or kind of the sugya that puts it all together, is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about the Isra of Yichud, that a man and a woman can't be secluded together. And the Gemara asks, like, why are you worried so much about arayas, that if a woman is secluded with a non-Jew, that she's going to be involved in some sexual impropriety, why not worry that this idolater is going to murder her? So Rabbi Ami says, Tipote Bebriya, maybe we're talking about a strong woman, and so we're not worried about that. And Rabbi Yavin says, Afilu Tamar, so if a man is in this situation, it's hard to hide that he's Jewish because he has a bris milah. But a woman can kind of pass as a non-Jew. Okay, so the Rush is the most machmer on this. The Rush says, don't read the Yerushalmi that it's mutter to say that you're not Jewish. It's not mutter to say that you're not Jewish, even in a case of, pikuach nefesh. What's the Yerushalmi talking about? The Yerushalmi is talking about that a woman might do this, meaning that's why there's more of a concern for yichud, for arayos, because women have no out. But here, at least a woman, maybe it's not proper for her to say, I'm not Jewish, but she at least has an out for that. And therefore, Yerushalmi presents it like that. So that's the Rush's opinion. You cannot say that you're not Jewish. The Orzarua says that this gufa is the machlokas between the two opinions in Yerushalmi. That the first opinion says that you're allowed to, that you're not allowed to conceal your identity, and the second opinion holds that you can. Okay, and the Rambam says that as you can say or think whatever you want. Meaning, this is in the Igeres HaShemad. You could tell people that you're a Muslim. That's not a problem. The problem is to actually worship Islam, to follow the practices of Islam. That is a problem. But if you think or you know, you lie to somebody and you tell them that you're a Muslim in order to not be persecuted, that's okay. That's the most makel sheet on this. Okay, so how do we learn the Avda Denura? So the Rashba has two answers. First he says, maybe Avda Denura, meaning I am, it sounds like I worship fire. So Rashba says, no, it means I am an Eved to somebody who's part of the Nura religion. Somebody who's a, meaning, like, you know, you're trying to, the whole sugya is about avoiding taxes. So they pull you over on the toll and they say, why didn't you pay the tax? You say, oh, you know who my boss is? My boss is Pope whatever. He's the Pope of the whole fire religion. So you should give me a break because I work for this guy. Not that you actually worship the flame. That's the first interpretation of the Rashba. The second is, Avda Denura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Esh Ochla. Right? Sometimes we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a fire. I worship fire, meaning I worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the Rosh, and seemingly consistent, follows the first approach. Avda Denura means I am an Eved of the of this fellow. Give me a break because of that. Rabbeinu Nisim, the Ran, seems to lump the two interpretations together. Meaning, like that, to say Avda Denura, so even though you meant, like, I'm a servant of a guy who, it sounds like a Chil Hashem. So if not for the fact that you also have in mind that there's a plausible interpretation within our religion of Eish Ochla, so that would, to say that you're an Avda Denura wouldn't be enough. Okay. The Gemara also has a sugya here. Can you put on clothing to beat the customs agent? So, you know, like when you're coming with your suitcase, or like Spirit Airlines, you know, like they only let you bring a certain amount of stuff. So, because you just put it all on, and the Gemara is talking about wearing shatnez. So, the only reason why you're wearing shatnez is not because you're interested in wearing the clothing, but because that's the only way to get past tax collector. The Gemara talks about how you get around dealing the machusa because you have to pay taxes, and it's talking about you know, it's a private tax collector, meaning the guy just decided on his own he's going to collect tax from everyone who passes by, so you don't have to, you're not halachically obligated to pay those taxes. Fine. So the Rosh says, wait a second, maybe the pshat in the Gemara is that they're giving a break to non-Jews, so if you put on shatnez, they know that you're not Jewish. He says, no, that can't be. Why? Because you're not allowed to do that. Again, the Rosh is the most machmir. The Rosh says, you can't dress up as a non-Jew to evade a penalty. It's not mutter. And the Nemuka Yosef, so he says, if there's a specific decree that all Jews must wear non-Jewish clothing, so that's like the shoelaces. That would be usser. But if there's a decree that all Jews should be killed, and you just dress up like the case in the Medrash, you just dress up as a non-Jew so that they don't identify you as Jewish, that's fine. Okay? The Trumas HaDeshen kind of makes a pshara that if you're doing it to save money, so that's usher. If you're doing it to not lose money, then that's fine. Meaning they have a discriminatory policy against Jews, and if you're doing if you're trying to avoid that, that's okay. But if you're trying to just save money because you know there's a break for certain religions, you can't identify with that religion. The Ma'arik says that it might be specific with shatnez that this whole discussion comes up. Meaning, to wear non-Jewish clothing that violate an isser, that would be a problem. To dress up as a non-Jew by wearing shatnez is more problematic than to just dress up like everybody else dresses up and try to get through and pretend that you're not Jewish. So as a matter of halacha, and with this we'll conclude, so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Aser la'adam lomar shu'akum." Like the Rosh, you cannot say that you're not Jewish. Kadesh lo yarguhu, even if they're going to kill you. Avalim kadesh lo yakir bo shu'yudi mishanam albusha b'shas gzeira. But if you just want to change your clothes so they don't recognize you, that's mutter because you're not saying specifically that you're a non-Jew. And the Rama qualifies it. The Rama first he says that that's even if you wear shatnez. And even though you can't say that you're not Jewish, you can say something that's a little bit ambiguous. Okay, so you can, like Avda Denura, you can figure out a language that, I work for, you know, you figure something, obviously each situation is different. even though the non-Jew is going to think that you meant that you're not Jewish, but as long as you can figure something out, that's not a chil Hashem, but that's not an outright lie. Right. The Shach points out that, you know, you can't put yourself in a situation to dress like a non-Jew, but the minhag is to be very makel on this, meaning everyone lived in different times. The Shach lived during times of persecution. He says everybody used to do this. They used to dress like non-Jews, and otherwise, you know, you can get killed. So that was the, that's what the Shach says. Then the Yamshel Shlomo, so he also points out that if you're wearing clothes that violate chukos akum, meaning that they're exclusive to non-Jews, that's more problematic than if you're just wearing clothing that that everybody wears, or that Jews and non-Jews wear. And then he says that maybe you can't even use ambiguous clothing if all you're doing is trying to save money. Meaning if you change your clothes just to try to save money, that might also be problematic. So just these are kind of things that, Baruch Hashem, we don't live in times of great persecution, but, you know, when we're, you know, considering whether to wear a yarmulke or a baseball hat or things like that, these are some issues to consider.